Yeah, Joe first presented his spectrogram plots, waterfall plots. I made comments about them that made some calculations as to what velocity they appeared to be demonstrating. Also related it to the situation I had when my 10 gig equipment used to be working, where there was a beacon in Princeton, New Jersey, transmitting a 10 gig signal. I could hear the signal directly from the beacon. If I aimed a little bit further clockwise, the beacon, by the way, was essentially southwest of me. If I aimed almost directly to the west, and if there was a rain cloud moving through New Jersey, I would hear a aurora-sounding signal reflected from the rain cloud on 10 gigs, because the water droplets are getting to be a significant fraction of a wavelength, so each of the water droplets of the rain cloud are all acting as individual reflectors. But the rain cloud is almost always a low-pressure center, and in the northern hemisphere, around a low-pressure center, the wind moves counterclockwise. So I could aim at the center of the cloud, I would hear an interesting reflection. If I aimed to the left of the center of the cloud, I would hear positive Doppler shift, because those raindrops with the counterclockwise wind motion are coming toward me. If I aimed to the right of the cloud, I would hear negative Doppler shift, because with the counterclockwise reflection of the wind around that low-pressure center, those droplets are moving away from me. So I could probe the cloud by moving my antenna, a 3-degree beamwidth, back and forth. I could see the extent of the cloud. I could see the Doppler shifts and know how wide the cloud was. I could look at the center of the cloud, look at its Doppler shift compared to the direct signal I was getting from the beacon when I aimed at it. From that, I could tell the velocity that the center of the cloud was moving toward me, and I could make some rough guesses as to how soon the cloud would be from New Jersey across the Long Island Sound or across New York City and coming onto Long Island where I am. I could make some rough guesses. So I was doing this all as a kind of passive radar experiment. I wasn't doing any transmitting. I just sat and listened, tuned the receiver up and down, waved the antenna back and forth, and a little bit of smarts, I could almost figure out what was going on. It was kind of a fun experiment. Let me drop. And a little bit similar to that was the aurora Doppler shift I was here on 432. A guy in the Michigan area would be transmitting a strong signal on 432 with my 16 Yagi array, which was part of that antenna article in the March issue. It had a 5.5-degree beamwidth. When I aimed it almost dead north, I would find a nice reflection off the aurora cloud somewhere over northern Canada. And as I aimed the antenna back and forth, I again heard Doppler shift, because the particles of solar wind coming out of the sun, striking the North Pole region of the Earth, those electrons don't just come straight down, they spiral down because of the magnetic field. And again, to the left of center, I would hear positive Doppler shift, and to the right of center, I would hear negative Doppler shift on the 432 megacycle Morse code signal being sent by the guys in Michigan. So it's kind of fun to, again, do passive radar-like experiments. I think this is what you're referring to, Andy. I'll turn it back to you. Drag your feet in case anyone wants to add any further questions or comments. So the A2CDL with a delay. K2RIW in the TechNet.
Okay, I guess let me go let it drop a second. I heard the beep. Okay, very good. Yeah, well, you know, I was... It actually brings up one of the other questions that I was pondering. And probably Mel would be a good candidate to get into the discussion, maybe not tonight. And that is sunspots, which I'm interested in. Now, I didn't look anything up on the internet to find out about them and how they affect radio waves, and what are sunspots? You know, the mechanism of sunspots and how it affects the ionosphere as far as ionization of it to cause refraction and reflection of radio waves and so on. It could be a pretty big discussion. And you know, the reason why I mention that is because of cycle 22, which I guess we are approaching that cycle, or the peak of that cycle, I believe, once the cycle peaks, the activity on the HF bands will increase, because right now it's not, has not been that great, as people know. So, as far back as, and I understand it's an 11-year cycle, and if you figure out 11 years times 22, it goes back, what, 200 and something years, plus that they discovered sunspots in the first place, or one astronomer studied it, or I don't know his name, and saw the sunspots and started doing research on it. Anyway, it's just something interesting that we could talk about. Maybe not tonight, though. All right, that's it, Dick. Just wanted to mention that. And then I'll save all the other discussions for later on. Back to you, WHCDO.
I came close to bringing down some instrumentation that would allow you to see sunspots, but I was a little busy doing something else, and the weather was a little bit too hot. I decided not to do it. Give us a couple of words, Andy, as to how many people were at the picnic, and did you buy anything at the Hosark flea market? Back to you, Andy.
All right, those are easy questions. it gets late, and my brain shuts off late at night, especially with the heat and everything else, since I've been spending a lot of time outdoors. Regarding the picnic, we had about 60 people show up, which was a good number. And I got there late because I went to the Hall of Science Chan Fair first, and then from there I went to the picnic. But it was a good time, and other than the heat making everything a little bit uncomfortable, it was turned out to be very nice. A lot of food, and a lot of good people. And I didn't buy anything. I didn't look around at Hosark. I just set up my little table and helped out anybody who needed some help as far as checking something out. And that's it. That's what I did today. And I saw Eric KE2EJ at both events, this morning and then at the picnic later on. Back to you.
Sounds like you guys made the rounds. And when it comes to the field day coming up, obviously you're going to be located at the Limock Field Day. And I keep forgetting the name of the facility where you guys are going to be at. Why don't you tell that one to me, Andy?
Yeah, it's there was discussion about having it at a different location. I'm not sure if it's this year or next year, but right now it's going to be at the same location by the FAA towers. What is it? Oakfield Road, Oakfield or Oakland, in Belmore. I guess it's the Rose Mary Kennedy's facility over there. I think that's the pronunciation of it, or the name of it. Kennedy Bosse's Center, where they had it last year. So to my knowledge, that's where it's going to be again. And that'll be in 3 weeks from today, or this weekend, Saturday and Sunday. It'll be the last weekend of June. Back to you. Yeah, Rosemary Kennedy Bosse Center, I believe, is the full name of it. Back to you.
Okay. I tend to make the rounds and visit a number of the sites, and I eventually end up at Kings County Radio Club in the Ryan Visitor Center at Floyd Bennett Field. Mel and I have an extended eyeball, in which we settled we try to settle a number of the problems of the universe. Mel's about to start reading his emails from his website. Go ahead, Mel. K2KEY, K2RIW.
Okay. Boy, I got some strange things going on here tonight. Now the lights in the kitchen, fluorescent lights, that was funny. I could actually detect at times a flicker when a number of the compressors here are running. So I see my line voltage is down to 106 volts right now. And like I say, the look at the sine wave, there's something on the sine wave there, some kind of little glitchy on the sine wave. I keep pumping on and off. I don't know what's causing that. Oh, by the way, the XYO just handed me the Consumer Report, March 2008. And it says on the front cover here, ratings, 101 LCD plasma and rear projection sensors. And they go through, they got a big chunk in the magazine, the March issue, 2008, on each one, going over each one, 101 different steps, Dick, over.
Mel, just a quick comment, there's some very severe weather coming through our area now. Back to Dick and TGOT.
Thank you, Mr. GOT. And by the way, Mel, whatever you did, your 800 hertz tone is completely gone. Back to you, Mel.
Yes, WA2CDO regarding the storm that's heading.
Yeah, go ahead, Andy.
Okay, in West Hempstead, I'm looking out the window, and I see a lot of lightning coming up from the west. I'm wondering if Mel is getting it, and I can hear the thunder, so it looks like it's heading this way, and it looks pretty, there's a lot of lightning with it. Just to mention that, WA2CDO.
Roger, yeah, I can see it over the ocean, definitely, but it's moving away, and so I think I'm safe because I've got the big beam above me here. I think that's where my protection is. Dick, I changed outlets. I took an extension cord, and I plugged the power supply into another outlet. That's what took care of that. If I put it into the other outlet, let me show you. Let me try a demo. Hey, you can hear the thunder right in the background, over.
Is it possible your power supply was going out of regulation? Yeah, is that the Manfred 1 Mountainwig XQ2 FOD power supply?
No, the voltage is staying fairly constant on it. Oh, this thing will go way down. I checked this with a variac. I can take the voltage down to about 85 volts. Literally no change, so that's not the problem. Something glitches. There's, I see one outlet in the kitchen here. I guess, you know, several outlets here. And I'm in the kitchen area. And one outlet, if I put the scope on there, the sine wave looks clean. I put it on the other outlet, and when the compressors come on, next door and here, the glitch shows up. But why it's... In other words, it's most likely on one phase, it's 110, Dick, which is now they're both of them. See, 220 is, I can't measure that, but I'm measuring one of the 110s here is down to 106. And the other one here is 108, over.
How about that? And I think you're saying when you plug into the kitchen outlet, you hear that tone. When you plug into another place, you don't hear the tone. Unusual. Is there any 800 hertz solid-state fluorescent lighting there in your kitchen, Mel?
I tried turning the lights on and off. If I right now, I think the compressors are idling. That's it. Well, wait a minute. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll plug this in 1 second into the other outlet, and then it'll kick the air conditioning system on. Let's just see this. Let's make one experiment. Take a second. Hold on, Dick. Okay, in the other outlet, and the air conditioners are all on now. I just push the thermostat up. What happened? Over.
You're clean and green. No tone in there, Mel. I wonder if there's a bit of an intermittency on the grounding of your microphone.
No, I think... I don't think it's that. I think it's some kind of glitch on there. Because where I change the outlet, there goes the lights again. Get a good blink this time. No, I think it's most likely, I just say, the screw-up of the AC line going on. That's unusual. Let's go back to the other outlet. Hold on. Okay, now I'm on the other outlet. All right. That's no fun to you. I was just saying to myself, this is a very unusual condition tonight here. All right, so March 2008 is all the information on LCD projection sets and plasmas and all that stuff. And, oh, boy, they've got page after page after page. You've got to really do a detailed study. Now, let me tell you something about HF's situation right now as far as propagation. Something very unusual has been going on, and I don't know what the answer is. I don't know. Maybe QSC will say something about this in the next month or two, what has been going on the last week or so, Dick. Over.
Understand. Fire away. Your signal is nice and clean right now. Just give us a... speak up to the microphone, and you're getting louder all the time.
Okay, let me just try one more thing. Let me just switch on one more thing. Let me see if I can bring that back. I'm just curious. Hold on one. Okay, how about now? What's happening? Over.
I'm hearing a tone in the background, but it's lower. The tone I'm hearing now is... more like 600 hertz. Before I was hearing 800 hertz. Go ahead.
Okay, tried another outlet. It's something strange going on here. It's unusual. All right, hold on. Let me go to the other outlet. Back to the other one.
KTYO. Go ahead, Bernie.
Just curious if he knows if these outlets are on the same leg of the 110. Or on the same 110 leg. It may be that, he just said that one of his legs is definitely dropping lower than the other one, so it may be that the junk is coming in from out on the pole somewhere or one of his neighbors.
Yeah, a number of people on Con Ed wiring, I know that Rich runs into this M2EO, are really not running on two-phase, but they're running on three-phase. I call the power I get two-phase. That is to say, I've got a neutral wire, I've got 120 one side of neutral, I call that the black wire. I got 120 the other side of neutral, I call it the red wire, and 240 between those two. In the case of quite a few communities in New York City, Con Ed wiring is running on three phase, where I think they run closer to 130 volts each side of neutral, and then between the two, they only have 209 or something like that, because it is separated by 120 degrees, not 180 degrees. They got two phases of the three-phase wiring, giving them the quasi-220 volts. I wonder if that's the kind of wiring you have, Mel. K2KEY, K2RIW.
Okay, we're going to the other outlet. All right. What's happening is, no, we got only three wires running here. We do not have three phases here going up the block, which is a major problem here, because we got all these air conditioners central. Everybody here has got a central air conditioner up. This whole block is all, more or less, all new property. And every one of them is on the same three wires. So if you measure from the neutral to, that's what I'm doing, I'm measuring from the neutral to one of the, you know, other pins. I don't know which is which, of course, because, but I know in the kitchen here, it's been split up, I'm sure. And I noticed in one outlet, I noticed two different, because one outlet I've got 106 approximately, the other outlet I've got around 104. So I know that each one is on a different, part of the phasing system there. But I do not have three phases, it's just three Y, neutral, 2110. And they're completely out of balance right now. So I think that that's just part of the strange occurrence I'm getting here right now, Dick. Over.
Yeah, but whether or not you've got three-phase wiring and two phases coming into your house, as opposed to what I call one-phase wiring with two potentials each side of ground, in each case you've got three wires coming into the house. But the real test, Mel, would be when you get 104 on one side of neutral and 102 on the other side of neutral, if you have what my kind of wiring, you add those two together from hot of one to hot of the other, you should see 102 plus 104 or 206. If you see a much lower number than 206, then it would say you've got two of the three phases coming into your house. A number of places on Con Ed do have two phases of three-phase wire coming in the house, and so each side of center tap are only 60 degrees apart, 120 total, whereas mine are 90 and 90, 180 degrees apart, if you know what I mean. Back to you, Mel.
I follow what you're saying. No, I can't check that here. The 220 line, let me see, where's it supposed to be? Nah, that's in the radio room, and that's behind the rack there someplace in the main panel. I cannot get to it because what happens, I have in the main radio room, I have the 220 goes into that variac, that auto-tracking variac system, which keeps the 220 balanced. That is a problem I have, a very major problem here, that I can't ever get. I usually get 196 or something like that when I go to my 220 line. And in fact, in the central air conditioning system, they got an auto transformer to bring it up because the compressors may not kick on that head pressure if you do not have at least, you know, a 205 or 206 or whatever it is. But in the ham shack, I've got this auto tracking big variac in there that, well, it was a commercial product, and it tracks the two lines that feed into any of the amplifiers, all running off 220, keeps it balanced, Dick. So that's the only place where I can measure it. I'm in the kitchen area right now. Go ahead.
Okay, you don't have a 220 socket in the kitchen. I understand that. But you have one phase that appears to be measuring 104. You have another phase that appears to be measuring 102. In other words, one socket, neutral to hot, you've got 104. The other socket, you've got neutral to hot 102. If you go from hot to hot, hot of socket number one to hot of socket number two, and the hot ones are the small blades. If you go to the small blade of socket number one with one probe of your digital voltmeter to the small blade of the other socket, what voltage do you measure? Don't do that. Go ahead.
And that's not going to be so easy, unfortunately. If one is on one side of the room there and the other one don't have that, to get two extension cords basically to do this. So it's not an easy experiment to go from one area. One is the dining room area, actually. I had a short extension cord here, a lamp extension cord that just barely stretched over from here. And the other one would be, I'm right like sort of at the edge. I'm right by the dining area. And I have a little corner shelf where I keep this little 2-meter radio so that during the time I can help clean the kitchen and all. I got to do my KP here. My wife, she's shaking her head. That I've got to do double duty here. Operate here on the tech net and also help in the kitchen. You want to eat, you better work. it's a little hard to do that experiment right now. But I was, okay, well, anyhow, I was going to discuss HF, whatever. But, yeah, it would be interesting to make that measurement right now, Dick, but I can't, over.
Yeah, without adding a pair of extension cords, I now see how it's going to be difficult. But you probably have in a closet somewhere a pair of extension cords where you could bring the two together where the meter would be located. It would be a fun experiment. And maybe you're not going to do it now, but maybe later. Go ahead and read the mailbag if that's what you'd like to do, Mel. Go ahead.
Well, I have to go up to the shack. I could do it there because I could switch off the auto-tracking variac system and read each side individually, you know, and then look at the total that way. There is a manual control on that thing because sometimes it drives me crazy. For some reason, if I was to run the amplifier, I guarantee you that thing would be hunting back and forth. You'd hear, you know, they'd see the handle moving, swinging back and forth. So sometimes it gets me very nervous, so I usually sometimes just, set it manually and shut it off, the tracking system. I was going to say about HF, for some reason, we've had a lot of openings on 30 meters this past couple of weeks. Listen to 20, dead. listen to 40, not so bad. 80, not much. 30, hot. The other night, I was working the Pacific, Marshall Islands, Hawaii, all on 30 meters. Why is that happening? Is it something, is it frequency sensitive? You're going to tell me now the atmosphere at the 30 meters over?
Interesting. Okay, so the lower bands are nothing fantastic. 30 is fantastic. How is 15, 17, and 10 meters, if you happen to know, Mel? Go ahead.
Ed, completely dead. Right above, you know, going next after 30 is the 20-meter band. Nothing. Zero. Nothing at all. And I was listening on 40. There was some activity on 40, but nothing like a long haul like that to the Pacific area. I held a QSO with a guy in Hawaii. I haven't spoken for a long time. This is on CW, of course, because 30 meters is only CW. And we had about a half-hour QSO. Just bringing ourselves up to date, it's been about 5 years since I spoke to him last time. So he's a pretty nice guy. His guy's name is Peter. We just were talking about different things back and forth, and I was amazed for a half hour. It was a perfect copy. I'd say close to the time, peaking 599 on 30 meters, you know, and I was only running the up to about, you know, about 100 watts, because you're restricted on, you know, 30 meters, I think, to a maximum of about 200 watts. Everybody more or less has a sort of a level playing field on 30 meters. That's why I really like that band, Dick, over.
Is it possible some of the conditions that were so great is because the band is not super popular? 20 meters, everybody and his brother is there. But part of it, you were getting very little cue on Mary? Or you really... You're sounding like you're telling me that that band just had an opening and the higher and lower band didn't. That's going to take some explaining. And when you go to your ham shack, is that a higher room of the house where it's hotter? Or is it a lower room of the house where it's colder? Back to you, Mel.
I don't know. I haven't been up there. It's upstairs. During the daytime, it's warmer up there. And at night, it gets colder up there because, I guess it's because maybe it's just the wind off the ocean or who knows what. But last night, it got so goddamn cold that thought, you know, everything was shut off. We had nothing on, no fan, air conditioning. Nothing was running and open. The wind was up. And the patio door that goes right off the room there slid the door open. And I had to get up and close it because it was actually cold. So you get, you know, somewhat cooling off here at night by the ocean, especially this time of the year because the ocean temperature is only about 56 degrees, Dick, over.
Yeah, it's a little early in the season to go swimming. So you're getting some nice cool breezes because you're, I think, only a block or so from the South Shore water out at Manhattan Beach. You've been there, I guess, around 30 years or so, or even longer, Mel. It sounds like you're you planted and you're going to stay a while. K2RIW.
K2KEY. Yeah, I like it here. It's nice here. No complaints whatsoever. I'm 350 feet off the Atlantic Ocean, to be exact. So sometimes even closer. But it's close enough for me. And yeah, I was down the beach. I didn't get a chance today. But I was there yesterday, and I was in the ocean, and a little on the chilly side, with the quick in and quick out, really. I just felt that sting. It was really a little bit uncomfortable at 57 degrees or so. So it's going to be a while for the ocean to warm up. But as I was saying about 30 meters, 30 meters just seems to... let's put it this way. There was nothing doing on 20. At all. There was no QRM area or anything, troubles like that. You don't get that much QRM anyhow anymore, the way conditions have been running, especially on CW. I think CW, maybe activity has dropped off because since they have the no-code license, I don't think it's being pursued by many of the new people down. Some are. I see some of the new call letters are coming on, but very few and far between. It seems to be... most of them were coming on with CW on the with the new calls is because they've come from places where they've operated CW. In other words, they got an American call, like I know a few people, because the previous place where they came from, they did operate CW. So they just continued because, you know, they knew CW because of previous calls from, you know, another country over.
I think you've told me that you can copy something like 30-35 words a minute, and you're one of the people that really appreciates Morse code as sort of an art form. Is that true?
I'd say I can do 30 pretty good, and 35 missed here and there, but enough that, for instance, at the DX stations, a lot of them come on there and they'll go at 35 words a minute. I can catch the call and the signal report, because usually that's all they're going to give you. And they go on to the next one, because, you know, it's usually a pile-up. So I have no problem, you know, catching calls at least at 35 words a minute. But holding a QSO, I'm very comfortable somewhere between 25 and 30 words a minute for a regular QSO. And the 30-meter band, no, not that much QRM. It's, I don't know if it's been, you know, a popular band or whatever, but being that it's only CW, it only seems to be popular with a small percentage, I think, of the amateur radio population, to tell you the truth, Dick. Over.
Sounds like a fun band. Are you using a dipole-like antenna there, Mel? Is it a trap dipole?
It's one of those floaters again. Remember we discussed the one of the antennas I've been using for like 40 meters and all? I have these floaters that make an angle, you know, with about 28 degrees with the ground. So I went ahead and I duplicated the same thing for 30 meters also. And it works. It works terrific. Like I say, you see the results. And it's amazing because the antenna comes down to like within 10 feet of the ground to a pole for, you know, the situation I have. And it's tied off at 40. About 40-some-odd feet up. And just one more antenna that I have sloping down like that at the 28 degrees with ground, and it works excellent. I don't know the answer to this, why this is a magic number with the dipoles, but you put that dipole vertical, it does not work as well. You put it horizontal, it does not work as well as it does at 28 degrees. So something about 28 degrees for a sloping dipole seems to be the magic number, Dick. Over.
Now, is that 28 degrees measured between wire and tree, or wire and tower, or is it between wire and ground? Or another way of putting it, is it 28 degrees from parallel with the ground, or is it 28 degrees away from being perpendicular from the ground, 28 degrees away from normal to the ground? How are you measuring the 28, Mel? Go ahead.
Okay, standing at ground level, I took a level, regular, you know, carpenter's level, and I stick a protractor on it as the wire comes down, and I just read the angle. That's it, at that point. In other words, where the wire is, say, coming down to the ground level, makes a 28-degree angle at that point, Dick. Over.
Okay, if you had it exactly halfway between horizontal and vertical, you would have a 45-degree angle to the ground. If you have a 28-degree angle to the ground, that means you push the wire closer to horizontal with the ground. Is that what you mean?
Well, one side is fixed. In other words, the high side is a fixed point, of course, and then you're just varying. That was the experiment. I varied the dipole from the horizontal position to the vertical position. In other words, I let it drop. If I let it drop right straight down, it'll be vertical. And then as I'm moving it from that point, pulling it up, at the point where I'm pulling it up, it makes that 28 degrees. That seems to be, in other words, I actually could see the signal improve. So what is magical about that angle? Whether it's, is this universal? Or this just happens to be where I'm located. I don't know what to say, Dick, but I tried this experiment so many times, you know, back and forth, that time with the 40-meter antenna, and got comparison signal reports even from people And they even agreed that they said, you know, definitely a pronounced difference that you can easily hear, Dick. Over.
Okay. I'm going to stick to this a little bit because there's still a bit of an ambiguity here. I think you tell me, let's assume now the wire is connected to a tower. I think it's really connected to a tree, but make believe it's a tower. I think the wire attaches to the tower 40 feet above ground. And I think you told me later, earlier, that the wire, the bottom of the wire, is 10 feet away from the base of the tower. So is the base leg 10 feet and the tower leg 40 feet? Is that approximately it, Mel? Go ahead.
This particular antenna that, yes, we were talking about, the 40-meter antenna that I had, you know, previously did the previous experiment with, yeah, it's a tree. It's connected to a tree. It's a tree limb. In other words, if I let that wire just droop, you know, fall straight down with the sinker weight, it's going to hang completely vertical from that branch, that standoff. It's not a tree. The standoff was a piece of PVC pipe, and that's connected onto one of the branches there that's supported on that one of the spruce tree that is about 70 feet tall. And going up further is the 40-meter one that slopes down. So this one is below the 40 because the 30 meters only 46 feet in length, the dipole, whereas, of course, the 40 is 65 feet in length. So if you take the dipole, this one for 10 megahertz, the 30-meter, and you start to pull it towards the horizontal position, you gradually, I could say it, when it again is raising off the ground, at that point, it is approximately with the support point, if I drew, you know, put the level up against the support point, it is, it goes away, it's away from the tree, I'd say about, at that point, maybe about 15, 18 feet, and that makes the wire, which would be the hypotenuse, I guess we could call that, using the tree as one of the angles, the vertical, using the ground as the other angle, and using the dipole, I guess we could call that the hypotenuse of the triangle, Dick, over.
Okay. Is that 30-meter antenna attached to the tree approximately 40 feet above grade, and the bottom that's closest to the ground, swung out a little bit and up, is roughly 15 feet out from the base of the tree? So I think you're saying 15 feet out is one attachment point, 40 feet up on the tree is the other attachment point. Is that approximately it?
Something like that. I don't remember really what the exact measurements were. It just was a convenient spot. So just everything worked out convenient. And then I basically, you know, just sloping it out. And it seems like I say, if you took a carpenter's level, held back, that was the horizontal reference, and you stuck a protractor sitting right on its flat, and the wire would come down and it would be somewhere around 28 degrees at that point, at the place where it's tied off the other end of the dipole, Dick. And that's what I'm curious is, now this seems like it's now 40 and 30 meters. There, let's see, from 7 megahertz to 10 megahertz. I've never done this experiment on 20 meters. This I have not done. I have not done the experiment on 80 meters. That's what I asked you to do with your pulley up at the top of the tower, whether or not this will have a, you know, a similar effect at 80 meters. But so far, it seems to work out at 40 and 30 meters. And that's what I'm saying. What's happening as you move this antenna at that point? And if you continue on, now you're getting more horizontal with the antenna. Again, the reverse happens. The gain is dropping off at the same way if you went from that point towards the vertical. It seems like it's a magical angle at that point, Dick, over.
I hear you. If you take a piece of pencil and paper right now, Mel, and draw yourself a right triangle, but it's not a 45-45 right triangle, it's going to be a 28-62 right triangle. 28 degrees is going to be one angle. 62 degrees is going to be the other angle. The 62 degree angle on the right triangle is going to be the leg of the triangle that's roughly 15, I'm going to call it inches long. In your case, it's really 15 feet. The 28 degree angle of the right triangle is going to be closest to the side of the triangle that is 40 inches long. You can see that the angles are different than you're telling me. Let me put it another way. If the sloper was at a 45 degree angle, it would be exactly halfway between horizontal and vertical. Everything you're telling me about where you attach on the tree, 40 feet up, where you attach on the ground, only 15 feet out, tells me you are slightly closer to vertical than you are horizontal. If you were 45 degrees, you would be halfway between horizontal and vertical. But the numbers you're giving me tells me it's slightly more vertical than horizontal. Am I wrong on that so far, Mel? Go ahead.
No, exactly. In other words, we draw a right triangle. If we look at the one leg of the right triangle, the highest spot, if we're looking at a right triangle on a piece of paper, the high spot we could say is the tree. Now, there's a pulley up there. So what I do is I pull that rope. In other words, I'm not pulling the 46 feet of wire really up to that stalk up there. I balance it off sort of, you know. In other words, I let the rope out a little bit more because, I see, it's hard to explain, but the tie-off point, the lower tie-off point of this thing is in a spot that could be, shall we say, hazardous. So I have to use a tie point that is raised up so that nobody gets strangled. It's a little hard to explain on the air. But in other words, basically, I use the tie-off point that is down on the bottom, and then I pull it up. In other words, to balance off the whole work so that the
Mel, your mic is not making good contact.
I'm sorry, yeah, I let go of the button. But you follow what I'm saying? In other words, the triangle is a little lopsided, to say the least. But the angle that it's assuming on the bottom is not 45 degrees, and it's not vertical. It's somewhere in between there. And I got a rough measurement of around 28 degrees, Dick, if you understand what I'm saying, over.
Right. The mathematics you've given me for the legs of the triangle tells me you're 28 degrees away from vertical. If you held the carpenter's level perpendicular to the ground, vertical, and then against the side of the carpenter's level, you put your protractor, and then you measure the angle to the wire, you'll come up with 28 degrees away from vertical. Earlier, you told me you held the carpenter's level horizontal and measured 28. If that's true, the base on the ground would be 40 feet out, and you would only be 15 feet up on the tree. You see what I'm saying, Mel? Go ahead.
Roger. Well, I don't know what I'm really up on the tree. I may be higher. I may be a misunderstanding, you know, because I thought it was about 40 feet. The only way I'm trying to judge that is because I put that pulley up there when I was up there. And, you know, I may be up higher, and I'll tell you why. I'm picturing the 40-meter antenna. It's tied off at about 65 feet. And the 30-meter antenna, which is 40 feet, approximately 46 feet long, and it's I don't think it should be 20 feet below the tie point of the 40 meter antenna. it may be, I may be higher than I am really, Dick, because I got to say, with the carpenter's level and a protractor on it, you can actually see approximately around 20 some odd degrees, 28 degrees approximately, as best so that I can hold it steady while the, you know, I'm up looking at the wire, Dick. But I may be a little higher in the tree. It's very possible. I don't think I'm 20 feet below the 65-foot level because I'm sure I put that pulley. It's hard to picture now. Yeah, I think I put that pulley higher. I may be up about 50 plus. Could I be up 50 feet or more? You know, I may now thinking about it because I may be up over 50 feet with that pulley, to tell you the truth, Dick, over.
Okay, I'm getting the picture. Bear in mind now, Mel, every triangle has 180 total degrees. Every right triangle has got a 90-degree angle in the middle, and the other two angles have to add up to 90 degrees. Make me a rough guess. If I measure the angle between the wire and the tree, assume the tree is a pure vertical object, and your wire of your 30-meter dipole is intercepting that tree some number of feet above ground, 40 or 50 feet above ground. What's your guess as to the number of degrees between the vertical tree and the wire up at the top of the tree? In other words, from where the wire touches the tree, what's the angle between that wire and the tree, assuming the tree is a pure vertical object? Back to you, Mel.
Now that you asked me that, now I think I'm right when I said that it is higher than about 55 feet, because now I remember when I dropped the dipole straight down at 46 feet, it was not touching ground. So that means that my dipole, I'd say, how high up could I reach it? I don't remember. Did I reach it? I don't think I could reach up. Now, I'm 5'8.5", so I was reaching up over 6 feet. Let's say I could touch the insulator. I would say that's tied off about 50-some-odd feet up the tree, Dick, that wire, the pulley at least. And I could say I could vary that. You know, I vary it, actually, so it's, you know, that I could stretch it out properly. It's very hard to describe, actually, how I'm doing this. But in other words, I tie off the bottom end first and then pull up the high end next, instead of doing it the other way around because of the constraints of where I have to tie it off to, Dick, over.
Okay. Now, what's complicating this is I know you've got a post on the ground making sure that the wire is tied off far enough above ground that people don't run into the wire. I understand that. Make believe the wire is going all the way to the ground. It's long enough. And you're taking that risk. Because it's a right triangle, and one of the other angles, not the 90-degree right angle, one of the angles is 28 degrees, that means, by definition, the other angle has to be 62 degrees, because you got to add the 90. So there's a 28-degree angle somewhere. There's a 62-degree angle somewhere on this right triangle. And the tree is a right triangle with the ground. So we know where the 90-degree one is. Now, is the 28-degree angle the upper one at the top of the tree, and the 62-degree angle is the bottom one at the ground, assuming the wire came all the way to the ground, or is it the other way around? I think your 28-degree is up at the top, and the 62-degree is at the bottom. You either agree or say it's the other way around. It's up to you, Mel. Go ahead.
Definitely the other way around. No, there's definitely the small angle is definitely on the bottom. You can see the way it widens up, you know, over there when you pull it up there. It's definitely wider at the top. It's definitely the 28 degrees with the going down. Because, see, with the dipole, the 40-meter dipole comes right down to the ground level. It goes to a spot where I tie it off where I'm almost right on the third level. So this here is... If you look at the angle at the for the 40 meter, it's definitely around 28 degrees. That's approximately with the ground level, Dick. And this thing is doing the same thing, but I have it raised because of the constraints of the situation. I have the tie point not at ground level. I could tie it at ground level by letting out the rope from the pulley on the tree, but because of the situation, I have to had to raise it up 10 feet, Dick, over.
Okay. Earlier you told me the tie point on the ground is 15 feet out from the base of the tree. And the tie point up on the tree is something like 55 feet. The longer leg of the triangle seems to be the tree. The shorter leg of the triangle seems to be the ground. Do I have that backwards?
Oh, you have it right. Well, I may be, let me see, let's say from the tree, pacing out, you know, I'm saying 15, oh no, it could be more. It could be 20 feet out from the tree. I'm not really sure exactly. I think I want to pace it. Could be 22 feet. It's a strange layout there. So, like I say, it's like they say one picture's worth a thousand words. You would have to really see this type of situation here, and then you'd understand. But it's definitely, it's like I say, the wire is definitely not hanging vertical. It's not hanging at horizontal, and it's not hanging at a 45-degree slope. It's below between 45 and the vertical. So as best I could see with the 40-meter at the time, because the 40-meter, I had a different tie-off situation with the 40-meter where I could walk around and tie it off at different spots wherever it was convenient. In other words, with the 40, what happened was I tied it off at the 65-foot, let it hang straight down, which came right down to ground level, and then pulled it out just gradually, you know, with the pulley to see what was happening. And that's why I wound up with that approximately 28 degrees at that point, Dick, over.
Okay, that 40-meter dipole, when you stopped walking it away from the base of the tree, make a rough guess. How far out did you walk?
Oh, not very far. Let's see. How far did I walk? No, it's not very far out. Because I'd say maybe 10 feet. I don't know. It's pretty close to the tie-off point at the where the fence is there. Let's say, well, let's say the property is 45 feet wide. The tree is approximately in the center. Yeah, no, I think the tree is big. No, the tree is over more. So it's not 22 feet over. I'm trying to figure where the tree is exactly placed because it's more to one side. It's more to off the, because the center because I got the, I figured it into the driveway also. So the tree is not really centered. The tree is off to one side, and I'd say from the fence line there, maybe about 10, 12 feet, Dick, over.
Okay, so the ground base leg is 10 or 12 feet. A 40-meter dipole, and it's mounted 50 or so, 55 feet up on the tree. That means your 40-meter dipole is not vertical, but it's closer to vertical than it is to horizontal. That's what the mathematics is telling me, Mel. Go ahead.
I would say so, right, because if you let it hang vertical and then just walk out with it, not a heck of a lot, because to tie it off, I only have to use a short piece of rope, and it's right, you know, not much off ground level, Dick. So I know, and I know the tie point is 65 feet up because I was able to let the 40 meter hang completely vertical. So it's not that far off the vertical. Like I say, maybe. Maybe 10 feet. I'm just thinking about it now. Could be 10 feet off the vertical point, Dick, because it's very close. The insulator is very close to ground, over.
Okay. Do you have a piece of paper and a pencil anywhere near you?
Yes, I have it.
Make for me a right triangle where the lower right-hand corner is the 90-degree right angle. One leg is going to go straight up the page, vertical. That's going to be the longer leg. And the shorter leg is going to go horizontal to the left full side. And then you're going to connect those two with the hypotenuse. So the longer leg is the vertical leg. You're going to mark that with the number 50 for the length of that leg. The shorter leg, the horizontal leg, you're going to mark that with the number 15. Of those two angles that are on that triangle that are not the right angle, one of them is 62 degrees and one of them is 28 degrees. Is the 28 degree the upper one and the 62 degree the one closest to the ground, the one connected to the 15-foot leg? Is that the 62 degree angle? Back to you, Mel.
Hey, the 60, the one that has like the 15 feet up the horizontal leg is where the 28 degree comes in at that point, Dick. That's where the bottom of the makes for the 28 degree angle. At that point, would be the 62 would be up the tree, basically over.
Okay, the leg of the triangle that is the longest leg, that's the one that represents the height of the tree. Is that true?
Exactly.
Okay. Is that the, is the top of the 50-foot leg, is that the more acute angle? Is that the sharper angle? Go ahead.
Well, you know, it's hard for me to tell you. This, you know, it's hard for me to see it. Just like the way the situation is, it's sort of got a lot, I got a lot of foliage. You know, everything is so somewhat, as they say, camouflage. So it's hard for me to, of course, you know, actually take a look at it now that everything is in bloom, especially. There's a number of trees around. So I can't really see what, you know, where what it looks like up there. The only thing I can see is where the bottom, you know, that I can walk up to the bottom, but I can't see much of the top, Dick, over.
Okay, you flipped over to the tree. I want you to stay on the triangle that's written on that page. The vertical leg of that triangle, the longer leg, is the one that's marked 55. That's the one that's vertical. The horizontal leg is the one that's marked 15 feet long, theoretically. It's a shorter leg, and you, the end of those two legs you've got connected with the hypotenuse. On your triangle diagram, which angle is the sharper angle, the one that is more closed? Is it the one connected to the 55-foot leg or the one connected to the 15-foot leg? Which is the sharper angle on the triangle that you just drew on that page?
The only one I could measure, really, I could say, is the bottom one, of course, and I can't get up the tree there to measure the other one. So the one that's on the bottom is the, I would assume, is the sharper angle because it's only measuring around, I could say, around 28 degrees or so. So the other one up the tree is most likely the wider angle, I would assume, Dick. Like I say, what I do is I see that the port that holds like the 40, it's longer than the dipole. In other words, it's higher than 65 feet actually, because the dipole, when it hangs down, it didn't touch the ground level. So that support is up quite high, to tell you the truth. And what I did is I, you know, I just balanced it off with those cords, you know, pull a little this way and everything. But what I've got to do is, of course, the tree has got to be able to move, and, you know, it's going to be a war between the dipole and the tree. The tree is surely going to win. So it's sort of like, you know, in other words, it's sort of bold, if you want to say that, the hypotenuse over.
Okay. You're confusing me a little bit now because you flipped back to the tree and your real setup. For the next two transmissions, let's talk about nothing but the triangle you have drawn on that page. The triangle you've drawn on that page is taller than it is wide. The taller leg is representing 55 feet. So you put the number 55 on the taller leg. That's the vertical leg. The horizontal leg you marked with the number 15. It's the shorter leg. and you connected a hypotenuse between the two. Don't leave the triangle. Just talk about the triangle on the page.